go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bolin.
Ben, we've got a cool topic today that I think a lot of people, this is going to pique their interest, I think.
Yeah. This is a fascinating topic. I almost wanted to save it for Halloween, but I couldn't help myself.
Well, you know, there's probably a lot more we can cover on Halloween, right?
I mean, sure.
There's
yeah.
all kinds of scary stories around cars. But this comes from, again, this is another one of the mysteries, myths and rumors revealed. You know, the automotive legend book that I received for Christmas this last year. An amazing book, by
Great
the way.
Great book.
We're grabbing a lot of different topics out of this thing. And one of these, well, several of these have caught our attention. This one, it comes from, I'll be honest, Ben, this is a kind of a dark subject, but it comes from the death chapter in mm-hmm. this book. And, it's about a lady who is she's a wealthy, beautiful Texas, Los Angeles, oil heiress, socialite.
Former model.
Former model. Her name was, Sandra Eileen Tara West. That's mm-hmm. her full name.
Yep.
And she went by a variety of these. You might hear us refer to her as Miss Sandra West or mm-hmm. Eileen West or Sandra West or however. But it kind of depended on who knew her and how she was referred to.
Right. Her longtime friends would call her Eileen.
Exactly. Now, there's something that before we jump into this here.
Okay.
There's one little twist in this that, I mean, if you've read the title of this, you already know what the twist is, but there's one little twist in this that makes this story so compelling, I think. Otherwise, not ordinary, but not out of the ordinary either. I mean, that, you know, this occasionally happens. Boy, I think I'm just stumbling over myself. Let's just get into the story. How about that? And
we'll
cover it there.
Well, let's get into the story. As the Mad Hatter said to Alice, we'll start at the beginning, we'll go through the middle, and when we get to the end, we'll stop.
Sounds very logical.
I'm paraphrasing Lewis Carroll. I really think I got that wrong. All right. So as we said, Sandra Eileen Tara West, or Tara West, married a fellow named Ike West Jr. He's a San Antonio, Texas industrialist.
Yeah, he's an oil magnate, this guy.
He's young.
Yeah, he's very young. This is the crazy part about this thing is both of these characters very young in the story. Now, unfortunately, we don't know a whole lot about Ike West Jr., mm-hmm. but we do know this. We know that her husband died very young. He died at the age of 34. And that was in 1968. And get this, in the book it says, not entirely explained circumstances.
Yeah, so, out in Vegas.
Yeah, out in Vegas. So he dies of not entirely explained circumstances. That's unusual.
And did you look into this some more? I tried to dig into it, and it was tough to find anything.
There's really not a whole lot out there. I don't know if that's just because we're not going to the right source, if we're not going through, like, you know, the old microfiche clippings that are in the,
right.
in the library or
yeah.
not. But if we had time to really dig into it, I bet we could find some more about this. Nonetheless, he dies very, very young at age 34.
34, and his wife was just a few years younger than him.
Yeah, she was only 29 at the time. Mm-hmm. So she becomes this very, very wealthy widow at age mm-hmm. 29. She's got two kids at this time.
Right.
And, of course, you know, with everything that goes with this, she's battling, they say, loneliness.
Depression,
even some narcotics that are presumably prescribed narcotics, but, you know, for depression, et cetera.
Yeah, antidepressant stuff.
But maybe some others as well. You know, just to cope with it. But apparently, now this is interesting. Mm-hmm. She really liked cars because she had, quite a stable of cars, right?
Yeah, she has a collection. There's a Stutz Blackhawk.
Mm-hmm.
And how many Ferraris?
As many as three is what they say. Now,
yeah.
That's kind of unusual, but not unheard of for someone in her, I guess, class to have vehicles that no one knows about, or maybe an unknown number because they're hidden behind gates and they're in, you know,
sure.
at separate locations. And,
yeah.
And she may have different houses here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But they say she may have had as many as three Ferraris at one time. But she did have one favorite, and her favorite was an early 1960s metallic blue Ferrari 330 America.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about the Ferrari 330. What do you think?
Yes, exactly, because that was a pretty rare car, as a matter of fact, right?
Yes, it is an outgrowth of the 250 GTE.
Okay.
So the 250 GTA is similar. It's got a lot of things in common with some of the 3.0 Ferrari GT models. Its contemporaries.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Well, I just want to point out one thing though. This is one of the cars that, you know, to me, I've always looked at these cars as like a kind of a separate class of Ferraris. They're the four seaters. They're the 2+2 Ferraris. So it's got two seats in the back that could seat some kids maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Two seats in the front for adults. Mm-hmm. But these are the kind that look like more sedans, more like, you know, the James Bond car era of Ferraris, you know, the sedan looking vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Still beautiful. And by the way, Ben, this one, the 330 America, which is what she had.
Right.
It had a 4-liter V12 that had 300 horsepower. So that's a very strong car because it's a lightweight car at the time.
Yeah, the 250, by contrast, only had a 3-liter V12 with 240 horsepower.
Yeah, so that's a significant increase for mm-hmm. the America version. And that was branded, by the way, or badged, by the way, by Enzo Ferrari himself, who decided that, you know, the Americans, they liked more power. They wanted the big engines. They liked this excessive, you know, style. And he figured, well, let's just brand, you know, up the horsepower. Sell it in America under, you know, call it the 330 America and see how it sells. And, you know, the funny thing is they only made,
50.
Yeah, they made 50 of these cars,
mm-hmm.
which is incredible. So she has one of 50 mm-hmm. 330 Americas that were ever produced even. I don't know how many actually still or, you know, still around.
I was looking for that number too.
Yeah.
I had a tough time. There's some question there, but it is funny because, in a way, it makes me think that Enzo Ferrari foresaw the supersizing syndrome that America has, like as a culture. He said, you know what? Let's just make it bigger and faster. He totally supersized the Ferrari.
Yeah, he did. You know, and wasn't it him? Was it him who said aerodynamics are for people that can't build engines? I think he's the one who said that, right? I was just talking about this with a friend the other day at dinner, mm-hmm. and he remembered the quote. He didn't remember who said it.
I think it was Ferrari because we were talking about that in one of our earlier Ferrari shows.
So he was big into just building these extremely powerful engines and not so worried about aerodynamics at this mm-hmm. point. Although now look at the Ferraris, they're extremely powerful and aerodynamic. But anyways, we're getting
that. So Miss West, the young widow is unhappy to say the least.
Yeah, unhappy.
I think it's fair to say she loves her blue Ferrari 330. America. And here's a strange thing, Scott. I don't know if you picked up on this as well. She is consistently revising her will.
Yeah, but you know, I thought that was unusual, but then I thought that, you know, somebody who's wealthy like this and has a lot of assets and always changing, mm-hmm. She may be selling homes, maybe selling property, maybe buying property.
That's a good point.
I think that someone in her financial situation needs to do that all the time.
Right.
You know, different considerations, like, oh, I forgot about this collection of jewels that I have that I would like to leave to mm-hmm. one of my children. Let me add that to my will. And that becomes an amendment. And then that causes confusion later on in that, you know, we have to just check the dates, make sure that everything's accurate. But she did amend her will many times. Now, her husband, remember, he died in 1968.
Yes.
In 1972, she had her will amended to include a very specific burial wish that stood through the end of time, I guess through, you know, her death, really.
Uh-huh.
Because in November of 1976, that's when something awful happens to her.
Yes, she is in a car accident. She is in a wreck with the Ferrari. Now, the car it has some damage, but this is not by any means total. They say relatively minimal, so we could take that to mean maybe as much as like some body damage.
Sure.
Busted headlights.
Yeah, sure. Not totaled, but I'll tell you what, it must have really damaged her mm-hmm. because she didn't fare so well because in early 1977, which is, you know, we're talking, man, I think it was like by March.
Yeah.
This is ongoing for her. This is like a 5-month thing. Mm-hmm. So she's has injuries from this accident
And she seems to be recovering.
Yeah.
But
she's still got a doctor who's watching over her. She's still got, nurses who are watching over her. She's also what they call heavily medicated at this mm-hmm. point. So,
which is probably for pain.
I would assume so. Yeah. So, man, this must have been quite an accident for her. You know, I don't know if there's probably not a seatbelt involved or anything at that time. Mm-hmm. Just guessing. That's why.
And this takes us to March 10th, 1977.
Yeah, exactly. And March 10th, she just said she wasn't feeling well. I think she said her stomach was upset. Goes to bed, passes away sometime in the middle of the night. So here she is, age 37. You know, this real, I guess I'll say flamboyant, beautiful, wealthy socialite heiress.
Yeah.
Passes away at a very early age. She leaves behind a couple of kids. Now remember in 1972, she had her will amended.
Yes.
With this specific burial wish, which her family isn't finding out until just now.
Yes. Specifically, her brother-in-law, Sol West III, was charged with carrying out the last wishes of her will. So among these, you know, are probably the normal things. There's usually a clause of something like, make sure that my executor of the will gets this allotted to these people and so in good faith. Mm-hmm. But then there's the other thing, which is really the turning point of our podcast here. We said that she loved this Ferrari 330 America. And you know, Scott, you know what they say when people pass away? They say, well, you can't take it with you.
Yeah, that's right, except you can take part of it with you, maybe.
You can, you can at least make sure that no one else gets it.
Yeah, exactly. So it, among her burial instructions, she had noted that she would like to be buried in her favorite Ferrari. This is the blue metallic Ferrari. Mm-hmm. Wearing her favorite evening gown. And sitting up in a, what is it, a
comfortable position.
In a comfortable position is how she stated it.
Mm-hmm. So buried next to her husband, by the way.
Next to her husband in, was it San Antonio, Texas, I believe, right?
There at the Alamo Masonic Cemetery in San Antonio.
Okay. All right. Now, before anybody gets any ideas, we should mention that, you know, this is definitely a sealed area. I mean, it's definitely, it's monitored and mm-hmm. watched over and, you know, I don't know why we need even say this, but we do, that there were precautions taken with this burial that, you know, so for grave robbers, for people that, you know, thieves and scoundrels that would go there and say, hey, here's this in this newspaper that there's a freshly buried Ferrari right there. All I have to do is get that pesky body out of the way, mm-hmm. and I'm in. I've got this car, right?
Which some people are not above. So here's what they do. They take the car with her in it, according to her specifications, in her favorite evening dress, reclined in a comfortable position. They put it in the phrase it used was a large plywood structure, but if you look at the photos, it's pretty much a crate.
Yeah, it's a shipping crate, really.
Yeah, it's a shipping crate. They have to get a crane to drop it in, and then as soon as they drop it in, they pour in cement.
Mm-hmm. And this is actually the second time that her body was interred. Did you know that?
Yes, because while Sol West, who originally was attempting to not have to do this, while he was doing this, she was temporarily interred.
Yeah, so she was buried once. Mm-hmm. They
exhumed her.
Sorted out this whole thing with, you know, the will and what's going on, because I'm sure that was some, you know, like the family is probably shocked by this news that, you know,
yeah.
why would she want to be buried in this Italian sports car mm-hmm. that, you know, is part of her collection? You know, I'm sure that they thought that was going to be part of the estate.
Right.
And not so much just that, but this is an unusual request. I mean, it's not something that happens every day.
Yeah, and it may not have even been an issue of the money or the value, economic value of the vehicle. It may have just been such an unorthodox thing. Now, you know what I heard? I heard that her will had some conditions for Sol West and that she would leave him. He had some options. If he followed through with this wish to bury her with the Ferrari, he would receive, I believe, it was around $3 million.
Oh, that's very interesting.
But if he didn't, he would get around 10 grand.
Really? Okay.
So that's part of the motivation.
Well, you know, the other thing, just off the top of my head here, with her changing her will often, the family probably wanted to make sure that the latest version of the will didn't have some correction to that.
Absolutely.
That, you know, oh, by the way, that 1972 thing, I was a little bit out of my mind at that point. I just want a standard funeral. You know, that may have happened, but now obviously she wanted to be buried in the Ferrari. That was her last wish, and it was carried out.
Yeah, and it, you know, this speaks very highly, I think, to Sol's character. That he did do this. I mean, if it's somebody's dying wish, you know, that's a very profound thing.
Yeah. And now but with the caveat that there was also money involved, that, you know, he stood to gain, you know, 3,990,000 more dollars by doing that. But I also agree with you that, you know, it was a very honorable thing for him to do this. He could have easily said, you know, no, we're going to just skip this and
right.
You know, let's work around this. It's funny. That's the thing that kind of throws everybody for a loop in this, is that she's buried in this Ferrari. Why take it with you? Why would you try to take something like that with you to the grave?
Sure.
Why would you not, leave that behind as you know, something that you can pass on to your family or you know, be sold for monetary gain or, you know, for, for your state to just increase. A lot of people have a lot of questions about something like that. And that's what makes this particular story very interesting, I think. It's absolutely true. I mean, it's
We should say that. That's the verdict.
Yeah, the verdict on this whole legend thing is that it's absolutely true. There was a woman that was buried in a Ferrari, and this is her. Mm-hmm. And you can go right to the gravesite today and see it. Now, remember, we said that, you know, it was buried in cement. It was encased in cement in this, you know, this the shipping crate and everything. It's been underground now for 36 years at this point.
And we have some extra stuff we're going to tell you, not to accuse anybody of being a would-be Ferrari grave robber, but we're going to also give you some information that might dissuade anybody who is considering this.
Yeah, you know, one quick thing before I don't want to forget this, because I do want to get into hear what you have to say about that.
Okay.
I've also got a couple of examples of other versions of this happening.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
I think that I need to say this, though. Like, if somebody has it in their head that they want to do this, and it's totally possible.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, it's legal. Completely legal. But there's some prep that you have to take ahead of time. Now, it's not a last-minute decision.
No.
I mean, just three quick points here is that, first of all, have it put in your will so that it's definitely something that they know is your wish, your dying wish.
Right.
Also, you have to buy 4 or 5 additional cemetery plots wherever you want to do this.
Yeah, there has to be additional space.
Yeah, there can't be just a standard funeral plot that allows this to happen. I mean, it's far too much space. Like, if you go to Sandra's grave today, you'll notice that there aren't any graves, you know, headstones anywhere around her plot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of the enormous size of this crate to house the Ferrari. And that's common. You know, a lot of people have to buy 4, 5, 6 plots around them in order to make this happen. The last thing is that I think that your family should be notified ahead of time that this is going to happen. I mean, don't spring this on your family as like a surprise. It seems like something that would be pretty shocking to most family members. But you could explain it to them in a way that could be better handled than, say, the attorney at the will reading, letting them know that this is your last wish.
Right. Especially, it's a considerate thing, especially when we think about the survivors of a family death.
Yeah.
They're already going through some immensely tragic things.
Just my suggestion. I mean, if people know ahead of time that, you know, that's my favorite car, I want to be buried in that car, and people kind of laugh about it and like, no, really, and here's why. You can explain this to them and, you know, over lunch or whatever you want to do. And that's far, far better than hearing it for the first time in a lawyer's office.
Yeah, and additionally, there may be some laws of which you're not aware. To our knowledge, it is legal to be buried in your car, but some states, in the United States at least, there may be some environmental regulations about it.
True.
So do check with those. I wanted to say a couple of points here that might be a little bit philosophical. Now, first, it can seem bizarre to someone if they hear about this story for the first time. But the idea of being buried with something that meant a lot to you in waking life is a very, very old concept. It's ancient, right?
Yeah, I think so. But usually it's something more along the lines of a favorite doll or a trinket of some kind or coins or, you know, whatever it would be.
A picture of a loved one.
Yeah, something like that. Not necessarily the coffin itself, which is, or the vessel itself, which is, in this case, a Ferrari.
Yes, and remember, now I feel bad, the Chinese emperor who was buried with essentially a model army. Remember all the jade soldiers?
Sure,
And transportation. This is, historically, we're just saying this is, while uncommon, far from unique. The second point here is that she's not alone in being buried this way, is she?
No, definitely not. In fact, there are many, many examples of this. And I've been kind of looking through some old clippings and finding some stuff about this. The earliest ones I found, actually, were a couple of Ann Landers clippings from a newspaper from a long, long time ago, just scans of newspapers that I found. one, I guess I'll just mention these real quickly. Okay. There was a guy named, well, actually, the first one was from 1974. It was a guy from Oklahoma, and he mentioned that he wanted to be buried in his 1937 Dodge, mm-hmm. because he said that it, you know, like, it gave him a wonderful feeling every time he looked at it. You know, it was just, it had so many good memories attached to it. He was asking if he could do this, and because he had never heard of it prior to this point. Now, remember, yeah. back in the days when you're handwriting a letter to Ann Landers and waiting for it to appear in the paper.
Right.
So he's wanting to know if in Oklahoma somewhere he could be buried in his 1937 Dodge. You know, no casket or anything else, just lower it in. Of course, she said that's, you know, check with your local authorities and see what, you know, what you can do. Mm-hmm. There's another guy, also an Ann Landers, I guess, fan, who yeah. wrote in and said, there was a guy named George Swanson from Irwin, Pennsylvania, who was buried in a 1984 Corvette that was kind of like the, you know, like one of the nicest cars in town at the time.
Right.
But it was just, his ashes were displayed in the front seat. So it wasn't the full body. It was his ashes.
Cremated first,
then placed in the car, then the whole thing buried in a private ceremony. So that goes way back, and there's many, many others.
Oh, I have one that I thought was kind of neat.
Sure.
I wanted to read it to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is from 2009. A fellow who was named Lonnie Holloway, 90 mm-hmm. years old, so he life well lived. Mm-hmm. He was buried in the front seat of his 1973 Pontiac Catalina.
Hmm. Okay.
That wasn't all of it though, Scott. He also, per his request, had his hunting guns placed in the trunk and some extra cash. He had a $100 bill put in his pocket.
Really?
Yeah. It reminds me of that. What's
why the guns?
I guess he loved the guns.
Huh, okay.
And it's like the St. James Infirmary blues, you know, if you're familiar with that old song where he says, bury me with a $20
yeah.
gold piece on my
yeah.
watch.
You know what? My great-grandfather, I think when he was dying, he asked my grandmother to put a $100 bill in his pocket.
Wow.
As he was dying, he didn't want to die with no money in his pocket. It was one of his thing, like just his thing. Because he was in a hospital or whatever, mm-hmm. and had no money in his pocket at the time.
Right.
Just kind of an odd thing about people. They just want to, like, they don't want to die what they consider to be penniless without a penny in their pocket, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I just found in my notes, here's one of the reasons, apparently, that he wanted to be buried, with his guns, Lonnie Holloway. He was known as the kind of guy to be styling and profiling, according to his cousin Leela Dunn and another cousin, Johnny McLeod. I'm reading from the article here, said he was a unique individual. He said when he died, he didn't want to leave his guns here because somebody might take them and shoot somebody. So he took them with him.
Oh, okay.
So it was a humanitarian thing. It sounds like a noble
He's
dude.
Making sure they don't fall into the wrong hands, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, like we've seen with other car burials, this had a concrete slab.
Okay.
This grave had a concrete slab placed over it to keep looters from going after the Catalina, the money, or the guns, I imagine.
I just can't imagine somebody doing that. But I know that that's why they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a 1973 Pontiac Catalina, that's a big car.
It's a weird picture, too.
All right, here's another.
Yeah.
I got two or three more of these. Oh, you know what? Mm. Before I get even to these last two or three that I want to mention, a lot of people have been buried in caskets that look like cars. And I don't really count those as the same thing.
I was going to ask.
No,
I don't know if he counts.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, and there's a couple of famous examples, a couple of gangsters that were buried. One guy named Maserati Rick. He was a crack dealer from Detroit.
Was that his Christian name, Maserati?
I don't believe it was, Ben. He was a crack and heroin dealer from the streets of Detroit.
Okay.
And he was buried in a Cadillac that looked, now his name's Maserati Rick, but he was buried in a coffin that looked like a Mercedes-Benz. And it was $16,000 for this thing. It was a silver coffin. Dressed up just like a Mercedes-Benz. Another one was another gangster, a guy named Willie the Wimp. He had a cat. Yeah, Willie the Wimp.
I'm sorry to laugh at that. Just as gangster names go, Scott.
I know. He's a Chicago gangster, and he had not a real Cadillac. He just had a coffin that also looked like a Cadillac. So, there's, you know, a million examples of this. You know, like where someone will dress it up with, you know, exhaust pipes on the sides or flames or whatever. I don't really count that. This is as far as being a car burial. Yeah. I think that these people that we're talking about, like
Willie the Wimp.
Yeah, Willie the Wimp and those guys, and Maserati Rick and those guys, they did it in their own way, I guess. Well, that was their own dying wish.
Yeah. Another thing that doesn't, that I don't think should count would be tombstones or headstones that are carved to look as though they are cars.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that too.
There are a lot of those. I don't think they count.
Or accidental deaths, like buried in mud type situations, you know, or,
earthquake
or murder victims that are buried in cars. That's, you know, cause that was not, they didn't request that. That was against their will.
Yeah. That's not their wish.
We're talking about people that this is their dying wish to be buried in this car for a specific reason. And, here's one that's an interesting one, Ben.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people will come across this one. Her name is Donna Mae Mims. And, she was actually just displayed in her car. And the reason she was because it was a pink Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because she was she was the first SCCA female national champion way back in 1963.
Wow.
And, she's always driven these pink cars, you know, the pink Corvette. I think she had a pink Austin Healey or something like that. always pink cars. But it was her wish to be, seated behind the wheel of her 1979 pink Corvette, just for visitation only. She then had, you know, normal coffin burial, mm-hmm. you know, afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one that I want to mention, just as an example here, is I have one surprise later that's coming up, but I need to.
Okay, we'll save it for the very end.
Exactly, the very end. But there's a good surprise coming.
All right.
There's another one. Her name was Rose Martin, and I think you read about Rose Martin as well, right? With the Corvair.
Yeah, read a little bit about Rose Martin buried with the Corvair, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a 1962 Corvair, and this one was kind of unusual. The casket was actually kind of carved. I don't know how to put this. It was slipped into the Corvair itself. So she mm-hmm. wasn't seated behind the wheel like a lot of these cases that we read about.
No, she was in a coffin that was put inside the Corvair.
Yeah, the rear end was cut out of the vehicle so that it would fit. It was almost like a box around a box, really.
I'll tell you, man, we just can't get away from Corvairs ever since we did that podcast on them.
I know it. And you've got some Corvair news too, right?
All right, so we're going to call this... Let's start this segment and call it One More Thing. Because, Scott, you and I have always walked out of the studio since way back in the days of yore in 2009... feeling like we have more to add to our last episode, whatever we recorded.
So I can pipe in later with my one more thing because I've got a surprise still.
Yes, yes,
okay.
You got a surprise. We
Fair enough.
Ruin it. So we've got, I have a subscription to Classic Car. I pay for it. I'm not sponsoring them or they're not sponsoring me. And one thing that I love this magazine, but I just walked in. You remember earlier I said that we never got done with the Corvair. We can't escape it since we've done this show.
Yeah, that's right. It always pops up.
So since I've had this subscription to Classic Car, we've noticed a strange occurrence. We'll do an episode on something. It almost doesn't matter what. And then, lo and behold, in the next issue of Classic Car, it's on the cover. Now, of course, they are probably not checking out our show and writing this because these are pretty in-depth articles. But they wrote a great article about a former Goodyear test car, a 1969 Yenko Stinger, and how it's coming back. They are kind of on our team here. They say it's hard not to root for the Corvair. No other American car embodies quite so purely the spirit of a true sports car in the European sense than Chevrolet's air-cooled rear-engined beauty. This is by a writer named Terry Shea. And what got me about this, the one more thing I wanted to say, is that we didn't really mention this vehicle in our podcast.
You know what? It was in my notes.
It was Yenko, in your notes?
Well, the Yenko Stinger was one of about, I would say, half a dozen mm-hmm. specialty cars that either the factory produced or someone else produced that are somehow historically, you know, noteworthy. Mm-hmm. Had historical noteworthiness.
Because Don Yenko built a lot of stuff, right?
Exactly, yeah. And in fact, there's even, I'm going to go way back here. Remember when we did our Can You Paint Your Own Car show?
Yes,
About the $50 paint job or whatever?
Yeah.
One of the example cars that we see online all the time, it's a Corvair. The guy painted something called Yenko Stripes on that car. And Yenko Stripes have a very specific measurement, and that comes from the Yenko Stinger. So I don't know if it, I don't see it on that car there in particular that you've got, but the Yanko stripes. Oh, there they
are.
There they are. Okay. So yeah, the Yanko stripes have a very specific measurement that this guy applied to his vehicle and made it look just like the original. So, but I did have some notes about it. We just didn't touch on it. It's just one of those things that kind of escapes us. You know,
yeah.
we run out of time.
We sometimes, you know, we often run out of time, but we just wanted to let every Corvair fan know that we're aware of the Yanko Stingers. We wanted you to check out the issue of Classic Car. I know this sounds kind of like an advertisement, but you guys, it was a really good article.
Oh, it's really good. You know, it's a Hemmings publication, and I tell you, Ben shares them with me when he gets them. He reads them first. I get them. They're a little dog-eared, but they're great. They're good. They're actually a good magazine, and again, we're not... you know, selling anything for them.
Yeah,
it's just a really
well,
cool magazine.
Especially, oh, man.
All right.
Anyhow.
One more thing.
And one more thing?
Yeah, one more thing. I've got one more thing that I would like to... No, you know what? Two more things. I got two thoughts here.
Let's
How
go
about
for
this?
It.
All right, two more things.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm
Let's,
already changing
skip,
the rules.
We're going to skip listener
I'm
going
to save my
things.
Surprise to the very end, but I had another thought just now about the car burial thing.
What's that?
Let's just say, okay. This is kind of mean. Let's just say that mean-spirited. Let's say that you have a little bit of friction in the family, you know, and you're kind of nearing your time, you know, the end of your time here on
oh,
Earth.
Oh wow, yeah.
Okay. Let's say that you don't want to be buried in your car is, you know, not, you know, paid off or whatever. But what if, Ben? What if you decided to go out to like an exotic car rental place, rent a car?
Oh my God!
And then have yourself buried in that rental car. What would be the result of that?
They would dig it up.
I think so. I mean, if you're buried in a rental car that your family, that you know, you at the in your last days had all this friction, all this tension
yeah.
with, you decided like I'm going to stick them with a bill forever.
Oh my gosh! Don't get
that's a devious thought.
Nobody crossed Scott Benjamin.
That's you know, I just wondered what would happen if something like that. And the exotic I just threw in there at the last second, but sticking rental car at first, maybe a minivan, something like that. But
yeah. You have to be very, very dedicated because the timing would be key.
It really would.
Wow,
that's a plan that would be tough to lay out.
I wonder
out.
If someone's done
okay.
that. All right,
all
what's
right.
the
so
surprise?
My surprise for the end here. My one last thing.
Well, let's have a drum roll first.
All right, so back into the 1970s. All right,
mm-hmm.
and this is kind of a surprise. I think a lot of people are going to find this interesting. Now, remember, all this happened. She was very.
Sandra West.
Sandra West was buried in 1977 in this Ferrari, right?
Yes.
Also in the 1970s, the late 1970s. In fact, 1978 to be specific, there was another Ferrari that was buried, or actually that was dug up, that was part of an insurance fraud scheme.
Oh.
And this one doesn't involve a body. This is just the vehicle itself, but there's a really interesting history behind this thing. It's a dark green metallic Ferrari Dino 246 GTS.
Oh, wow.
And it's a 1974 model. It's gorgeous. It's a beautiful car. It's a really, really, really classic sports car line.
Was it reported stolen?
It was reported stolen. You know, the guy that bought it had bought it for his wife as a gift, you know, and had it insured for quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
It was found buried in a backyard of a Los Angeles home 4 years after it was built. I don't know exactly how long after it had been buried. I'll have to read the whole thing or dig
yeah.
into this. Some kids found it. They were partying, you know, digging around. I think it was near a pool or something like that.
Oh,
it was
okay.
in this backyard, but it's an incredible scene. There's
yeah.
a lot of photos of this thing coming out of the ground. The crooks had, I think they'd removed one of the emblems. They'd cut it out with a torch or something. They had thrown a couple of pieces of carpet over top of it, like that was going to protect it.
like
I don't know if the
like
plan...
the kids were going to say, "Oh, never mind,
well,
it's just carpet."
I don't know if the thing is that you know they were going to come back for it, or they were going to leave it there,
right.
or what. I mean, you just don't know what the plan was behind this. And I think that the guess is that you know, of course, aside from insurance fraud, you know, the guy wanted the money for it,
sure.
paid somebody to have it hauled away. That the crooks probably didn't want to cut it up. They probably didn't want to just sink it somewhere or destroy it or in another way, crush it or whatever. It was such a beautiful car. So they buried it with the idea that maybe they'd come back. And here's where kind of good luck and fortune stepped in. And that particular year, those couple of years, there was a drought going on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the drought led to this extremely dry soil, which preserved this thing like a mummy.
Oh, so it's not ruined.
It's not ruined. This car is on the road. You can go look at this car right now. It's gorgeous. It's been completely restored.
They got a new badge?
Beautiful. Yeah, they got a new badge put in. And there's a YouTube video. Now, Jalopnik, who's an auto blog site.
Yeah.
They've got a complete, you know, a write-up about this thing. They've got a 20-minute video online, and I'll tell you where this video is, because this is where it really pays off. You can see the thing in action on twisty roads in California, and see original photos of this thing being dug up and the whole story behind it and how they traced it down. They did a lot of legwork on this story, mm-hmm. so it's their story, really. But the YouTube video, if you want to search for it, look for Mystery of the Buried Ferrari Dino Solved, and you'll find the story. So again, it's about 20 minutes, totally worth your time, in my opinion.
And I want to close with a question before we step out of here. Scott, what's your take on this? Do you think that it's good or bad for people to be buried in their cars? Do you think it should be something that people are allowed to do?
I think that if they want to do it, why not? I mean, it's...
It's their car.
It
as
is
long
their
as they
car.
Didn't rent it.
I find it, I can't help this, Ben, but I find it a bit on the selfish side in that it you're taking something with you to the grave that you could hand off to a family member, somebody else that could also enjoy it, because you've clearly enjoyed it for your life. I mean, that was your thing, right? You're no longer able to enjoy that. Why not pass it on to somebody else that can make new memories with that vehicle?
I see what you're saying, but also what if someone, like in the case of Mr. Holloway, what if someone doesn't have any family?
True.
And I don't know if he had immediate descendants or something, but I mean, clearly he had cousins. But if you don't have any family, and if you are trying to go, if you want to somehow be associated, even in your mind, even just as you're making the will, with things that give you comfort in such a strange and new time.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
As long as you own the car, everybody.
Yeah, not my rental car plan. Yeah, as long as you own the vehicle and it's your last wish and you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with this, really.
Rental scams with Scott Benjamin. That's
what
our next
I hear
episode.
Yeah. Another side note, a lot of bikers, I guess, are buried with their bike. A lot of Harley riders are.
A lot of motorcycles are buried with their riders, yeah.
Just thought I'd throw that in there. It's a little bit easier to bury that than it is to bury a full car.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, strange that people want to take all this with them. It's just an interesting thought process.
Yeah, and it's one that, you know, of course, we couldn't judge. I don't know if I would ever do it. Unless maybe I'm just waiting to meet the right car.
maybe.
So let us know what you think about these sorts of car burials. We know it's a little bit morbid, but we would love to hear your take. Do you live in a town where there are cars in the cemetery?
Yeah, because this happens. And it's not always reported. You know, people, it could just be a local story that, you know, people know about.
Yeah, and you can also check out some of our earlier episodes. We have the one about the Corvette graveyard.
Yeah.
And we have all sorts of interesting stories about what happens to cars when people are no longer driving them. So give us a holler, write to us on Facebook, drop us a line on Twitter, or you can always send us an email at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.